Blessing to be here once again and to take part in this assembly, and I've enjoyed it so far and appreciate your presence here. And hopefully you found, especially if you're a visitor and never been here before, that the things that we've done have been uplifting to you and edifying and in accordance to God's will. I believe I can speak on behalf of the brethren of that. I appreciate again y'all having me for this meeting and the opportunity to talk to y'all tonight for just a few moments from God's Word. Hopefully I'll have some things to say which will be edifying to you tonight. If you like to, you can turn to Matthew chapter 5. We'll read verses 38 through 42. Matthew 5, 38 through 42 says, "Ye have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away." So in this portion of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus talks about not retaliating when we're wronged by others. And he talks about different situations in which the people, especially that time, could have been wronged in their response to it. We see that their response to it was that they were to act lovingly or you know, in a Christian way, in response. And I want to think about the one that he mentions here about if you're compelled to go a mile with someone, go with them too, go with them twain. You know, under Roman law, it was a requirement for the Jews at that time, if they were perhaps they were working out in their field, if a Roman courier were to come along and ask them to aid them on their journey, that they would have to go with them, and the legal requirement was they would be required to go 1 mile. That was the requirement. Jesus here says to go too. And I want you to imagine that you're a farmer there in the time, Roman times, and you work out in a field, and you have here your fields along the road, and you start here at the beginning, and a Roman courier comes to you and says, "Hey, I want you to help me. I'm compelling you, according to Roman law, to help carry my pack along with me for your required mile." So you strap on the pack, and you start along your way, and you go along, and you're talking with the Roman courier there, and you're carrying his pack and helping him, and you've staked out 1 mile just past wherever you started there along the field, from your field, 1 mile along the road past there. And you pass that 1 mile mark, and the courier expects you to stop and drop the pack and go back on your way, but you keep on going. You go past that mile. And you go a full second mile carrying that Roman courier's pack. And he asks you, "Why did you do that? You were only required to go 1 mile." And you reply, I'm Christian. I'm a servant of Christ. And I look for opportunities to serve my fellow man and to be excellent and to go beyond, above and beyond what's required of me." And you use that as an opportunity to preach the gospel to that Roman courier. What an amazing thing that would be. You see, I think part of what Jesus was teaching here by teaching them to go that second mile is the idea of excellence. To go above and beyond what's common or what's average. And that's not the mentality that a lot of times we have, even as Christians, but especially in our society today. We want to get by with the bare minimum. And whatever we do, whatever it is, just as long as we meet that quota, as long as we meet that average or normal or mediocre benchmark, that's enough for us. I think about school, for example. A lot of times, people weren't striving for A's and B's. They're all right with getting a C. The reason is because if you get a C, you pass the class, and that's the bare minimum. C's get degrees, is what they say. And those who strove to get A's, a lot of times, myself included, I tried to get an A, but I was okay with a 90. I didn't want to get the full 100. Didn't want to give everything. As long as I got by and got the A, I was all right with that. And I should have done better than that. But more than just things like school, what we're talking about is spiritual matters. Being excellent in those things. Going above and beyond what is mediocre, what's average. And that's what we're called to do as Christians. You see, for Christians, what we're required to do, what's normal for us, if you were, the benchmark that we have is a benchmark of Christ, of perfection, of excellence. We have to go above and beyond in our life. So I want to talk about the topic of excellence. what more specifically it means to be excellent, and a couple of different ways that we can show excellence in our Christian life. So what does it mean to be excellent? It means to go above and beyond, do more than what's common or what's average. The Bible tells us that our righteousness must be at a certain level. We have to have a certain degree of righteousness that is better than some. Now, we think about that, and you might take pause at that and think, well, the Bible teaches us that we don't have to, or that we can't be saved by our own works and by our own righteousness, that we're saved by grace, and certainly that's true. But the Bible does tell us that God expects of us a certain amount of righteousness, certain things which we must do. We must give ourselves over to God. Think about the scripture in Matthew chapter 5, verse 20, which says, "For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven." So he says your righteousness has got to exceed a certain level. It's got to exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees. And we're not going to go into a deep study about the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, but the basic point here is that we've got to go above and beyond a certain level. The scribes and the Pharisees hadn't given themselves fully over to God. The Bible says that we have to repent of our sins, for example. We have to turn and live our life and follow after Him. Those are one of the things, the steps which are necessary to be saved, is to repent. So unless we do that, unless we give ourselves over to God, we're not going to obtain salvation. Our righteousness must exceed that of the scribes and the Pharisees. We must go above and beyond a certain level. Think about some of the things that the scribes, the Pharisees, the publicans did. They did a lot of times what was easy and what was natural. Matthew chapter 5, verses 43 through 48. Matthew 5, 43 through 48. Says, "Ye have heard that it hath been said, Thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For He maketh His sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect." So He says you've got to do more than just doing what's easy, than what's commonplace, than what's mediocre. He says the publicans love those who love them, but you need to do more. You need to excel. You need to go above and beyond that. You need to love even those who are your enemies. So to be excellent as in our Christian life means to do more than taking the easy path and doing what everyone else does because it's the easy thing to do. Sometimes it's going to mean that we have to make hard decisions. Sometimes it's going to mean that we're going to have to push a little harder, do a little more. And sometimes it means do a lot more to excel in our righteousness and our love towards one another. It means more than just worshiping God with our actions. It means worshiping God with our heart. Think about Matthew chapter 15, verses 7 through 9. Jesus here says, "Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." He says our heart has to be in it. It's more than just our actions. It's more than giving lip service, certainly. And it's more than just worship, which is vain worship. It's worship from the heart. You see, we need to not only do the right thing as a Christian, but we need to do the right thing for the right reasons, out of the right motivation. Not to be seen of men, not to lift ourselves up with pride and to be glorified in that way, not for any other reason but because of our love and devotion for God and wanting to do His will, worshiping God from a pure heart. That's what it means to go above and beyond, at least in this case. What's mediocre? What's average? The righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees. 1 Corinthians 13, verses 1 through 3. It says, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity or love, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy, and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains, and have not charity," it says, "I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. See, it's more than just our actions. It's more than just the simple going through the motions, doing the things we need to do. We need to do it from the heart, for the right reasons, out of the right motivation, out of the motivation of love. He says, I can do amazing things. I can have faith that can move mountains. I can give my body to be burned. I can give everything I have to the poor. And if I don't do it out of love, if I don't have love in my life, and in my motivation, and in my heart, it's worthless. Profits me nothing. I am nothing. He says there, if I don't have charity, if I don't have the right heart in the matter. And that's part of what it means. To be excellent is to do the right thing and for the right reasons, with the right attitude and with the right state of mind and heart. And really, when it comes down to it, what God expects of us is not just a little bit above what's normal or what's average in the world, but God expects us to give our all to Him. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 2, says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, listen, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. He says to give ourselves fully over to God, to be a living sacrifice, is our reasonable service. It's what's required of us. We're required to be excellent. We're required not only to be better than average, we're required to give our all to God, to fully commit ourselves to serving Him. And as Christians, that's our reasonable service. We've been forgiven of so much, and the debt for our sins has been paid through Christ. It is reasonable for us then to be required to give ourselves over to Him and give our life over to Him and do His will in all of our actions. The Bible says that we're to love the Lord thy God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And that's the attitude we ought to have, to fully commit ourselves over to Him, to be a living sacrifice. And in doing so, we'll merely be doing what is expected of us, or what God says is our reasonable service. And we can follow Christ's example of that perfection, of giving Himself as a sacrifice, of His example of love in His life, even of His enemies, those who were against Him, of His mercy, of His sacrifice, of His forgiveness, of His service. We study the Scriptures and see about the life of Christ and how He was fully committed to God, how He was perfect in every way, and we follow that example. We serve God after the example of Christ. That's what it means to be excellent. So now that we've talked about what it means to be excellent, let's look at some specific applications, ways that we can apply that excellence to our day-to-day life. First of all, I want to talk about the topic of service. We're to serve our fellow man, and specifically I want to talk about serving our brethren. James chapter 2, verse 15 through 16, talks about serving our brethren in a physical way. It says, if a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? So he's saying, whenever you have a brother or sister in Christ who comes to you, and we're not talking necessarily about someone who's outside the church, he's specifically talking to about brothers and sisters in Christ, that's a totally different matter. But if you have a brother or sister in Christ which comes to you and has a need, and you know they have the need, what is your response going to be to them? And this is not the response that you ought to have. You should not say to them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled. Because you're not helping them. You're not really serving them. You're not giving them those things which are needful. So we need to be willing to serve each other, to help each other out, whether it be in a physical sense, whether it be a spiritual sense. But let's think about the physical sense. I want you to imagine that you have a brother or sister in Christ who comes to you and is in need in a physical way, who needs clothing, who needs food, and you know that that's a need that they have. What would your response be to them? Now, there's different responses that we could have to someone in that way, different actions that we can take if someone came to me and was in that situation. This Scripture indicates that we need to be willing to meet the needs that they have. So I want to quantify some different levels that we could have in terms of excellence to see what responses we might give them. Now I have a diagram here. If you'll remember from the earlier diagram, this one here is the starting level. This is 0 miles. Then you have 1 mile here. Then you have 2 miles here. Let's think about, first of all, 0 miles. And that, to me, means you're not even going to go 1 mile. You're not even going to do what's considered average or mediocre or what the world expects to be normal. You're not going to help that person at all. Your response to them, if your brother or sister came to you and you had that 0 mile mentality, might be this: get out of my house, you parasite. See, you wouldn't have any love for them. You wouldn't want to help them at all. You just say, get out of here. I'm not going to help you. And of course, any time that you resort to name calling, that's obviously not a good thing. But if you have that 0 mile mentality and you're going to not, you know, directly violate what God tells you to do, then that might be the attitude that you're going to have. What about that 1 mile mentality? What the world might expect to be average or common. This is what your response might be in that situation. Depart in peace, be warmed and filled, like that verse said. Now you haven't been malicious towards them. You haven't told them to get out. You haven't called them names. You've had a general okay attitude toward them. At least you wished them well. But you really haven't done anything to help them, have you? And that may be, in a lot of cases, what the world expects you to do in that type of situation. Well, I have what I have. You know, I can't really help right now. But, you know, I hope that everything works out well for you. Depart in peace, be warmed and filled. That's that 1 mile mentality. We need to go that extra mile, though. We need to be excellent. What about this one? I kind of added this one in here. This is sort of a mile and a half type of mentality. And I think a lot of times as Christians, this is probably somewhere close to where we fall. We'll go a little bit above and beyond what's average, what's common, what's mediocre, but we're not going to go quite all the way. We're not going to go quite that second mile. We'll go a mile and a half. And this is what your response might be to a brother or sister who comes to you in this situation. Okay, here's a little money. I guess you'll be leaving now, right? That's a little bit above and beyond what a lot of people probably think is average or mediocre. You say, well, I'll give them the money and then hopefully they'll go and get out of my hair. That's a mile and a half type of mentality. But is that what God expects of us? God expects of us to go all the way, to go the second mile, to actually meet the needs of the people our brothers and sisters have. Come in. Please share this meal with my family. Sleep here tonight, and in the morning we'll talk about how to get you back on your feet. That's a mentality of giving of yourself, of sharing what you have with your brother or sister, of doing what you can to help them and meet the needs that they have in that situation. That's going the second mile. And that's what we're required to do, to be excellent when it comes to our service to our brothers and sisters. So how can I be more excellent in my serving of others? One way for me to do this is to be prepared when I'm called upon, to be ready, willing, and able to serve my brother or sister in Christ. Titus 3, verses 1 through 2. Paul here speaking to Titus says, put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. So he says to be ready unto every good work, to be prepared to meet the needs of others, to be prepared and ready to serve one another. And that's one way that I can be excellent in my service, is by being ready and being prepared to serve others. We think about hospitality, always having our home ready and open, always being ready at the drop of a dime to aid our brother or sister when they come to us in a time of need. You know, you think about the way that a lot of times situations come up, and we realize that sometimes situations come up very quickly. Like I said, the turn of a dime, the drop of a hat. We need to be prepared and ready to serve one another when those situations occur. 1 Corinthians 16, when Paul gives instruction to the Corinthians about how they were to give on the first day of the week as they've been prospered, to lay by in store, why does he say to do that? If you look there, he says the reason is, so there be no gatherings when I come. So the money is already collected because they had prepared for it. They had laid by in store each and every week. They had made that those funds available and ready, so whenever the need arose, it would be ready for it to be met. They wouldn't have to gather everyone together and collect funds to meet that need because they had already set things aside each week. They had already prepared. That's a spirit of preparation. And that's part of what it means to be excellent. To be prepared, to be ready to every good work. We need to make sure that we're ready, willing, and able to minister to our fellow man, our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, especially physical and spiritual needs. The Bible tells us that's what really religion is all about. James chapter 1, verse 27. You want to know what religion is? Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Those who are fatherless, those who are widows, especially in that time, wouldn't have had very many opportunities, or perhaps as much opportunity as we have today, to have income, to take care of themselves. And he's saying you need to take care of them. If they're not Christians, the opportunity to serve them is a great opportunity to help your fellow man and also teach them about Christ. If they're brothers and sisters in Christ, it's a great way to aid them and encourage them both physically and spiritually. We need to be willing to do that and ready to do that, to aid our brethren. He says that's what religion's all about, to help those who are less fortunate than us. We also need to be willing to aid our brethren spiritually. And we're going to talk in more detail about that tomorrow night, how to be a good servant in a spiritual sense to our brethren. Lord, unless things change, Lord willing, that's what we'll talk about tomorrow night. Let's talk about another aspect of being excellent, or another way that we can show excellence in our lives. And that's through the use of our talents and abilities. We're to use the talents and the things that God has given us to the best of our efforts to serve Him. And I want to read Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 through 30. Matthew 25, 14 through 30. Which actually is the parable of the talents. And of course the talents here is talking about a denomination of money. But I think it actually applies when it comes to our talents and abilities that we have. But let's read the parable of the talents here in Matthew 25, 14 through 30. It says, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents. And likewise he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth, and hid his Lord's money. After a long time the Lord of those servants cometh, and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee, that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." And I think this is a very interesting parable, a very interesting description here of the attitude we need to have when it comes to a lot of the blessings that God has given us, or all of them perhaps. But I think it certainly applies when it comes to our talents and our abilities and the blessings that God has given us in that way, in terms of the way that we can serve the church and others. So think about this parable. We read about how the Lord delivered unto his servants 1 5, 1 2, and 1 1 talent. The servants who had received 5 and 2 came back with double what they had received, and God or the Lord blessed them. And the one who had received 1 hid the talent of the earth, and he was condemned as a result of it after he delivered just the 1 talent back. I want you to think about this in terms of excellence. Think about that man who only had the 1 talent. Now, he could have taken that talent. He could have stolen his Lord's money and used it on himself. And to me, that kind of would have been the 0 mile, if you will, if we're trying to quantify this and think about the miles again. That would have been about the 0 mile because he would have blatantly disobeyed what his Lord had told him to do. But instead, what he did was he took the 1 talent and brought back exactly what he had been given. So to me, that's more of a 1 mile mentality. He went and did what he was required. No more, no less. He didn't work with that talent. He didn't use the talent that he'd been given to gain more for his Lord. He just gave back exactly what he was given. He did what the world might say is about average, is mediocre, is just fine. But that's not what the Lord wanted of him. The Lord wanted him to be like the man who had the 5 talents and the 2 talents, who went and used the money that they were given and gained more as a result of it, who went the extra mile, who used what resources they had to gain more and to glorify the Lord in this case as a result. And I think by extension we understand that the Lord is our Lord, is Christ, or God. We're required to be like the 2 talent and the 5 talent person, to use what we've been given to the best of our ability to serve God. Now think about for just a moment the man who received 2 talents. And I want you to consider this. Sometimes when it comes to our abilities and talents and the different aspects and blessings that we have in our life, we're not always the 5 talent person. Some of us are blessed in some ways and others are blessed in others, and we have our different talents, we have our abilities, but sometimes in certain areas we might feel like that 2 talent person. Why we haven't been blessed in certain ways like others do. Did that stop the 2 talent person? No. What did he do? He took the abilities that he took the money that he had, he took the talents that he had, and used them to the best of his ability. He did what he could do with the 2 talents that he'd received, and he gained double back as a result. And that's what God expects of us. God didn't expect the 2 talent man to go out and gain 5 more talents. He expected him to use whatever he had received to the best of his ability to serve God. We need to remember that as well. Perhaps you feel that in certain areas or certain ways you're not as blessed, you're not as talented as others. Use whatever talent you have. Accentuate the talents that you are blessed with, but also use whatever you can, whatever you have, to the best of your ability to serve God. It's not about a quota system. That's not what it is. It's about giving our all to God. We need to have that mentality that no matter what we have, we're going to serve God with everything we have. That's what it means to be excellent. So think about the different aspects in which you can use your talents and abilities outside the church. You have a great opportunity. Everyone can do this. To be hospitable, to share with others. We talked about how pure and undefiled religion is to serve others, to visit the fatherless and widows. You can be a servant to others. You can evangelize outside the church. And a lot of evangelism, although a lot of evangelism occurs as a result of preaching from the pulpit, we see in the Scriptures both those who are converted to Christ after hearing a sermon and those who are converted to Christ after act of hospitality and service was shown to them. A lot of evangelism occurs around kitchen tables, in people's homes. When we take a personal interest in others, when we build and develop relationship with those who are outside of the church, and we teach them about Jesus, or we have someone teach them about Christ. But we use whatever abilities we have to help evangelize, to be hospitable. What about inside the assembly? Inside the assembly is important as well. Whether or not you take a public part in the assembly, you need to be willing to give your all. If you're a song leader, and we're actually going to talk about this more tomorrow night as well, but if you're a song leader, if you're a prayer leader, if you're giving a sermon, if you're leading the communion, no matter what it is, you need to be willing to give your all. If you're in the audience participating in those things, be willing to give your all in that as well. This should be the goal. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 12, speaking here specifically, I believe, about just the edifying of the church here within the assembly. He says, "Even so ye, for as much as you're zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that you may excel to the edifying of the church." So he may have been talking there about preaching, but whatever the case is, when he's talking about edifying the church, he says you need to strive to excel. You need to try to do more, go above and beyond, to give your all in doing so, in using our talents and abilities to the edifying, to the upbuilding of the church. And certainly, I encourage you to do that. Now, hopefully, we've encouraged you in this study tonight to try to be excellent, to do your best, to give everything you have to serve God. Because as we said, in the end, it's not about doing just so much. It's not about doing what we might think is average or what we think might be generally okay or mediocre. It's about giving God our all. It's about being all in. It's about serving God in every aspect of our life. Whether it be service, we need to give God our all. We need to be excellent. Whether it be in the way that we use our talents and abilities, we need to give God our all. We need to do the best we can with those things to be excellent. Hopefully you haven't been caught in the trap of mediocrity, of wanting just to do what's average. You're just having that quota mentality. Serve God with your full heart and full mind. Strive for excellence in each and everything you do in service to the Lord. Hopefully we've encouraged you to do that. We, as always, want to offer an invitation tonight. If you perhaps feel that you haven't been servant of God as you should, you haven't given God your all, you haven't excelled in the way that you've served God as a Christian, we can pray with you and for you. And we want to lift you up before God, ask God to help you. We want to encourage you. We want to be there for you. We want to give everything that we have to help you be the best Christian you can be. We're here for you tonight, and we want to help you in that way. Now, if you're not a Christian, you haven't given your life over to God, you haven't started living that life of excellence, you have a great opportunity tonight to have your sins forgiven, to start walking down the path of righteousness, to have a hope of a home in heaven. You can live an excellent life here below. Give yourself fully over to God. We talked about how it is our reasonable service to give ourselves a living sacrifice to God. Why is our reasonable service? Because of the great love and mercy that God has shown us in giving us an opportunity to be saved from our sins, even though we don't deserve it. All of us who have sinned, and that's everybody who's able to be accountable for their actions, is not worthy of heaven. We're worthy of eternal condemnation. But God has given you a chance, an opportunity to receive mercy, to receive forgiveness, to receive hope. What a great blessing. And you can receive that tonight. And you can start living a Christian life. And you'll have brothers and sisters in Christ who will be willing to aid you and help you whenever you're struggling, whether it be physically, whether it be spiritually, who will lift you up, a great family of God, and you'll have that hope of a home in heaven. Don't you want to receive that blessing tonight if you haven't already? If you're not a Christian, don't you want to become one tonight and have that hope, have your sins forgiven, and not have to worry about what's going to happen after your life ends here on earth? You can receive that tonight, and we can assist you. If you believe that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, you're willing to repent of your sins, confess His name before this audience of people tonight, be baptized into Christ, have your sins forgiven, and you can have that hope of a home in heaven if you live a faithful life to Him. You can receive that tonight, and we can assist you in following those steps. So we offer those invitations tonight. If you wish to seek the prayers of the church as a Christian, or you wish to become a Christian, if you're not a child of God, please come forward and have a seat in the front row as we stand and sing.